What is the University of Philosophy? This is Dr. Herbert O'Reilly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. What is the University of Philosophy? A lot of people have questions what the University of Philosophy is, and the University of Philosophy is the story about a journey into the Absolute. A journey into Absolute. A journey into that inner awareness of ourself, that inner beingness of who we are, that inner reality of the allness that life is. It's not an easy thing to describe. It's not an easy thing to point out what it is, but it's a journey. And we all make journeys. I caught myself making a journey into yesteryear. And I thought, how charming, how absolutely beautiful, how delicious it is. I've just finished speaking about going into the past and going into yesterday and not living in the now. And in doing that, all of the nowness is forgotten. We don't realize how wonderful the now is because we're living in the past. Today, the nowness is something really quite special, and it deserves our attention for it being quite special. We can look into the past and we can delight in it, and we could say to ourselves, times were simpler then, times were easier then. And if we say that to ourselves, we forget that all of the current activities which are so exciting, all of the current activities that make our life into a very magnificent experience, are sort of lost as we get lost in the past. We journey back into the past, we think back into the past, we live back into the past, and in our process of living back into the past, we forget the present. Now, what's so wonderful about the present? Well, this is what the University of Philosophy is all about. It teaches us to live in the now, to live in this moment, to live in absolute consciousness. It teaches us to not be so excited about what is past and the glories of the past, the glories of Rome, as the saying went, but in the glories of this moment now, the glories of this instant, the nowness. What is absolute? Absolute is the allness. We often talk about our friend and Christian scientists who, under Mary Baker Eddy, realized that all is absolute, God is absolute, religion is absolute, all studies are absolute, and that perfect health is ours right now as an absolute reality. And when we allow ourselves to consider the past, when we allow ourselves to dwell in the non-absolute, we allow ourselves to dwell in the appearances, and of course that is a changing thing, then we fall into the trap of not living in the absolute. Now, to be an absolutist, to be a student of the University of Philosophy, one is ready to dream in the now. To dream and see all things as complete in the now, all things as fulfilled in the now. When you look into the University of Philosophy, And you begin to read its courses, and you begin to read its textbooks, you come to the conclusion that there is a greatness in the universe that is in the nowness. And nowness confirms another aspect. It confers and confirms. It confers the aspect of completeness. It is fulfilled. It is done. And it is not the matter that it is something that is done. It is all that is done. We find it very difficult to talk about it. We find it very difficult to be it and think it, because it is so unique. It is so different from our current way of thinking. Our current way of thinking tells us that things are a difficulty, that things are not working out too well, that things are developing, that there's going from point to point and success to success, and this is far from reality. All is already complete. All is already fulfilled. There is not going to be something, it is done. There's not going to be an awareness, it is done. There's not going to be an understanding, it is already understood. And of course, when you come to this realization, when you come to this attitude of mind, and truly it is an attitude of mind, then you are beginning to live in the awareness of now. Then you are beginning to live in the awareness of the reality of who and what you are, of who and what are your potentials and your responsibilities, and you see there are no responsibilities, and there is no potential, because it is done, it is complete, it is fulfilled, it is a reality. How do you describe the allness in completion? How do you describe the allness in fulfillment? It's rather an interesting concept, because it is one that we have not given too much vocabulary to. And because we haven't given too much vocabulary to it, it is, well, it sounds profound. It sounds extremely profound. Now, when we begin to talk in absolute terms, and we talk in absolute phrases, and these we must learn, when we begin to talk in these terms, they become everyday parlance for us. They become everyday ways of expressing ourselves. And as they become everyday ways of expressing ourselves, then we live as that in which we are immersed. When we are immersed in that everyday attitude, then so it is. As a musician, he is immersed in musicology. He is immersed in the attitudes of his music. He is immersed in chords, and he is immersed in all sorts of scores, and he is immersed in all of these concepts. And it's the most natural thing in the world for him to be a fantastic musician. So it is with our scientists. They are immersed in their given fields, and today the fields are so broad that they specialize, and in their specialization they are very talented in that specialization. Take a number of years ago, the average doctor out in the far reaches of any given country, if he were called upon to do certain operations, he would have to do them and be guided by an inner wisdom and absolute knowingness of what he was doing to accomplish anything of value. And in any operation he did, he would have to count and trust upon his own inner reserves. Today, specialists are developed in these various areas, and doctors in the far out reaches call them on the telephone to get information on what to do when it is important or necessary that they have help. But the doctors who have historically done these things. They have listened within. Now you say, I'd rather have a doctor who had studied and who knows that philosophy and knows that teaching. Well, it does seem more logical, and it does seem more reasonable, and it is practiced today, and perhaps it's been practiced for a long time as it was developing. But when we really tune in to that inner awareness, when we tune in to the allness, when we tune in to absolute, we know all these things. We know whatever needs to be done. And, of course, we would treat it perhaps quite differently than we do on the primitive manner in which we use surgery, in which we use medicine and things like that. Because absolute teaches, if you will, that everybody, every concept, every attitude of mind is a thought. And while there are diverse thoughts and there are diverse abilities in being aware of these thoughts, if we can truly understand our thought and speak our thought from the absolute point of view, speak our thought from it is fulfilled, it is done, it is realized now, then we are touching upon the absolute attitude. Now you see, if absolute is absolute and allness, then why would there be anything like an individual? Why would there be anything like uniqueness? Why would there be anything like a human being relating to another human being, or a human being relating to his environment and to his world? Why would any of these things be active and current? Well, the answer to that question is, they would not. The answer to that question is, once the allness is fulfilled, once the allness is revealed, once the allness as absolute is understood and, I don't know how to say, appreciated, but once it is thought upon and dwelt upon and accepted in its allness, then all the other falls away. When you know mathematics, you no longer say, I don't know mathematics. When you know any given field of study, you no longer say you don't know. And so it is in the study of absolute, in the study of the university of philosophy. Once you know absolute, you do not go away from it. And you sound indeed like a cold fish, because you lose your humanness. You lose your attitude of caring about individual problems. And you lose also not a respect, but a delight in other people accomplishing goals as they go along. If you truly are living in absolute consciousness, if you truly are living in the University of Philosophy's attitude toward the absolute, if you're living in that, then you look right through all things and you see all things as already their absolute expression. You see anything that is to be, you think, as done. There is no to be. There is no process. All is complete. All is absolute. Now, when we have this as our primary way of looking at life, when we have this as our primary direction, we no longer dwell in the past. We no longer dwell in the attitude of something that is to be. We no longer dwell in the possibilities of tomorrow, the future. But we live in absolute awareness of now. We live in absolute awareness of the absolute. it's a strange world. It's a strange area to be in. but it's a very exciting area to be in. This is just sort of the overall view of what the University of Philosophy teaches, of what the University of Philosophy is all about. And many students have gone through many of the programs of the University of Philosophy, and each one has come out somewhat confused, somewhat amused, but always uplifted. And as they pursue these courses, as they pursue this awareness, they appear to the objective world as being very profound beings, but to themselves, they are the simplest, most beautiful expression of anything that life could ever present, because a student of the University of Philosophy is a student of Absolute, and a student of Absolute is Absolute itself, is allness itself, is all that ever could be. I think that gives us a little step into the right direction and gets us thinking on somewhat of the University of Philosophy. Have a lovely day and think on these things with us. And know that I love you. I love you. I love you.